Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, if you want to walk on water like Jesus and Peter, if you want to step out in faith, you've got to get out of the boat. What that means is we can see opportunities for you to leap out in faith, to maybe step out from the usual comfort zones that we have in life and step out maybe the fears and worries that we have and trust in God to be a very big God in maybe those fearful and scary times. I want to read with you a scripture passage that we heard earlier today. This is our very first reading from the Psalm book, Psalm 142. It says, "With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. And when my spirit faints within me, you know the way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, my Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. So attend to my cry, for I am brought low." These are a plea of mercy from a man that is pretty brought low and destitute. Feels like he is a failure, and he's scared for his life. These are the words of King David before he becomes king. And on here is David is flying high. He's had success after success. He's had victories. He's defeated Goliath when he was a young boy. He became second in command to the king of Israel's army, King Saul. He even married Saul's daughter. He had everything going well for him, and still something happened. King Saul got upset, and he tries to kill David. He comes after him with his armies, and David flees from one place to another. Eventually, he has nowhere else to go but a cave. He retreats to a cave, and this is where he writes Psalm 142 and cries out to God, "Help me, and I will trust in you. Bring me out of this prison, and I will give thanks to your name." Well, we know the end of the story, that David doesn't get killed. He is brought from the worst part of his life to being king. And this is an example of how there is still good news for cave dwellers, right? A lot of us have those moments where we're maybe stuck in a cave. Maybe some of us like to go into caves and just get away from it all. Especially it's a lot of us guys, right? We don't want anybody to bother us. Sometimes we have those cave moments, though, that when life gets really hard, we want to retreat and just kind of hunker down and just sit there, maybe in the dark, and pray that things will get better. When you're in the cave, today there is good news for you. We know the end of the story already. We know that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We are Easter people. Because Jesus is alive, that means that anything that happens to you, God has your back. That you can trust that God will be faithful. Not because of any good prayers or not because of how great you are, because Jesus has paid for you and your life. That is the good news that you all have today. No matter how bad and how messy life gets, no matter how many struggles you have, we have a God that's living and breathing for you. Now, to really hammer that point home for us today, we've heard a few other speakers come in the last few weeks, and I want to bring up one more, a special woman of faith that has some words of faith to share with you today. So I want to bring forth Mrs. Deborah Berg. Deborah has a beautiful family, and she has a long history, and she's got a lot of things to share with you today. So as part of our sermon, I'll welcome to hear your story today. Thank you, Deb, for being here.
Good morning. I came with two things that mothers and grandmothers love the most: their phone and their family album. You are the luckiest people today because you get to see my family album. Aren't you excited? I didn't bring all the pictures. I just brought a few. I found this picture on the internet when I was looking for another visual that I wanted to use today. And I thought, I love her face, or his, and I especially love the fact that it says, you have a big God. So today what I want to do is share my album with you, and my album is no different than yours. You have all of these same pictures. You have wedding family, you have baptisms, you have births. Collectively, our story would be the same. I've heard your stories over the years. But what I feel like I have missed sometimes is how did you put one foot in front of the other? I think that's the piece that we sometimes leave out. Well, we're talking about one boat in the year 2015. I didn't know what boat I was supposed to get out of. And I said to Pastor this morning, I don't always think we make the choice to get out of the boat. I think sometimes we're pushed. We just get pushed right out, which I think is what happened to our family. Here comes my family. Three daughters, Casey, Kelly, and Lindsay. Little did we know at this time all of the things that we were going to be dealing with in the year of 2015. I'll start with Lindsay, because I think she's the one that started it all. In this photo, we did not know that in about 3-4 months, she would be diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. That was quite a gut-wrenching event, as all of you know. Like I said, I have heard your stories as well. We rallied the troops. We came home from wherever we were living, and we kind of hovered around our home in Wales. We went to several doctor's appointments, and I thought, okay, I'll take time off from teaching, and here I go. But Lindsay's doctor said the best thing he could have ever said. He looked at Lindsay and he said, you're gonna fight cancer. And he looked at me and he said, you're going back to work. And I didn't have any idea how I would move one foot in front of the other. And okay, I guess I'm going back to work. So back to work I went. Lindsay went to chemo. I went to work. And you can only imagine what that first day could have been like for both of us. You paint on your smile. You get your shoulders as broad as you can go. And you get in the car. I got in the car. And of course, the tears just poured out. I had a long drive. I was driving to Exonia. That's where I taught for 10 years. And I'm on my way, hardly able to even see the road. And I get to F, which is my turnoff. And I look up. There's a billboard that I have been driving past for 7-ish years that I never even recognized. It was tattered. It was beat up. You could tell the wind and the rain had taken the pictures and ripped part of it. The structure it was on was all worn and tattered and almost ready to come down. And that photo is the best I could come to the resemblance of what I looked at that day. I remember his hand being really big. I went to work almost every day. Looking at that photo, that big billboard, pushing me to my next day. I think Lindsay had had either one or two treatments of chemo. We were getting used to that regimen. We were getting used to, this is going to be different. And I get a call from my sister. And she says, Deb, Mom's not doing well. And we knew that she was near her end. She had been suffering with Alzheimer's. She had had pneumonia in November. By this time, it was January. And I said, I can't come. And she said, I understand. I think it was about 4 or 5 days later, Mom passed. And Lindsay said, I'm good enough. Let's go. We're going to the funeral. So off we went. Met everybody, saw everybody, said goodbye to Mom. Came back in our lives, went through what we needed to do. I went off to work. She did her chemo. We managed 6 months of chemo and a month of radiation. And it wasn't too much later than that that my brother, or my sister, actually called Jeff. She knew I was at work and said, Dad's died. In fact, it was 10 months only. And that we were not expecting. He passed in the night, and he had a massive heart attack. And I know I have heard your stories, but how do you walk one foot in front of the other if you don't see those photos of Jesus? Well, one thing that I could not get over was that image of Jesus was right in my face every day. It happened to be during the summer that Lindsay started radiation, and I didn't go to school. I didn't travel out. I taught summer school that year, but that was a school inside the school district. And I didn't see his photo every day. It wasn't too much later than that. It's August, and off she goes to college. She has one more semester to finish. How do you let her go? How do you walk one foot in front of the other? I didn't even get to take her. Her boyfriend said, I can do it. I'm traveling and thinking, what am I going to do? My life is slowing down. We had a whole house full of people. Now I have nothing going on in this house. I said to Jeff, I guess I better get out to Exonia and get ready for my new students. Down the interstate I go, and as you can only imagine, I can hardly see where I'm going. I look up, the billboard is gone. Over the summer, they have torn it down. They replaced it with this brand new one that stands higher. And I was just going down that road a few weeks ago, and the One Call, One All guy, he was on that billboard. I just looked at that empty space. And I heard God say, I told you, I've got this. O ye of little faith. Well, it wasn't too many months after that I get another call. Now I say, our phones are important to us. It happens to be about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, and it's our daughter in Seattle. And Casey says, Mom, the baby's not doing well. She has 10 weeks to go in her pregnancy. And I said, you do whatever you have to do. I'll be there tomorrow. I get on a plane. I'm not sure if I'm going to a baptism, a christening, or a funeral, because the only message we got was 3 pounds, Gemma. Now, I want to share the next photo with you, but I don't want you to be afraid of it, because we had a lot that we had to endure and understand and get used to. What you're going to see is not a picture of sadness, it's a picture of victory. It's a 3-pound baby in a ventilator next to her mom. Her head is the size of mom's fist. They did not know why she was in stress, but they knew she was in stress. They could not get her to move. Casey had said to her husband that morning, "I'm not feeling this baby moving." She called her midwife, and her midwife said, "Come on in." They made a quick decision that said, "We're taking this baby right now." And off she went into an emergency C-section. Gemma was born later that evening, 3 pounds. They were so excited that she was 3 pounds for that early on. And they still were not sure what had really happened. They were putting her in observations. I made it to Seattle, and while I was there, it was very apparent that a part of her intestine had died away and that she was going to need surgery. So this 3-pound baby had intestinal surgery. And again, it was the image of Jesus that I held on to. It was something I needed to know was out there. Gemma came through just fine. She stayed in the NICU of Seattle's hospital for 89 days. I say she's our million-dollar baby. And today, on May 9th, she's celebrating her 5th birthday. So this is an album of victory. But we're not done, because Gemma was born, and a week and a half later, Lindsay walked across the stage and graduated from college. A week after that, we had a family wedding. 3 huge events within 2 weeks. And I wanted to know what boat I'm being pushed out of again. How am I walking 1 foot in front of the other? Kelly and Danny were married Memorial Day weekend. What a great wedding it was, but I was exhausted. I'd been out to Seattle. I'd worried about all of that. My daughter, Casey, after 2 weeks of a C-section, made it to her sister's wedding. We had all of that as well to deal with. I want to show you a picture of Gemma getting flowers for mommy 2 years ago. It's pretty incredible, I think, in my mind. I want to show you a picture of Lindsay and Adam. They're now married. They celebrated their first year's wedding anniversary. But Kelly is also part of this story, because about this time frame of a year and a half, my 2 daughters had 4 miscarriages. And Kelly finally figured out with the doctors that in order for her to carry a baby, she was going to have to give herself 2 shots a day. And so she was able to give herself 2 shots a day and carry that baby 9 months. So here's our 2nd granddaughter. We now have 4 granddaughters with the help of all of the medical and the Lord. They're wonderful granddaughters. One was just born back in December. But the message that I want to also pass on to you is the Holy Spirit has met me in my life 3 times. Once when I was a child of 7 or 8, when I asked him to forgive me over something I had done, and I literally stopped in my steps, turned around to wonder who was that and what was that. And I now know that that was the Holy Spirit lifting that burden off my shoulders. I also remember the Holy Spirit meeting me one evening when I was terrified of my children's safety. My husband had been traveling, and I heard a noise outside. And I immediately asked protect my children. And I had the same feeling of burden lifted off my shoulders. When Lindsay was diagnosed, I bargained. Oh, did I bargain with God? I promised him all kinds of things. I told him that I would do this and I would do that. I bargained with him. I said, give me that disease. And we know that couldn't have happened. But he just let me know that he was walking with me every step of the way. Through that whole next year and a half, he walked with me every step of the way, as well as our family. What I'm wanting to say again today is we have these same stories, but we don't always share how you make it from one foot to the next. And so if you get that call, and we all are going to because we're not done living, hopefully you're prepared to say, how can I help? Thank you for listening to my story.
Thank you, Deb. As we can see with the image that was guiding you for many moments, there is always good news for cave dwellers. So if you want to walk on water, you've first got to get out of the boat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.